When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Day here on Sports Grid as we get you ready for the days ahead. A little recap, of course, of a very busy weekend in golf, of course, in NASCAR, and no doubt the NBA. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock. We got you here, our new time of the show, 1 hour down from two as we get ready for baseball season, noon to one Eastern here on the program. Lots of fun things coming here at Sports Grid, which I'm excited to tell you about at a later date. But for now, we are back. It is fantasy time, and Davis, great to be with you here once again. What's going on?
Yeah, happy to be with you. It was we just finished up our first weekend with no professional football being played. And Craig, it was like one of the busiest weekends of my life. I was like, what? I don't got to do TV. I don't have to be on my couch. I was like, I went to a concert. I played some golf. Like there was a lot of stuff to do out there because I knew that, you know, my Sunday was going to be mine.
Yeah, it's definitely weird when the football season ends and then there's no more Sundays. But of course, the NFL draft will be coming up very soon. We are hopeful that spring training starts very soon. And of course, last week we found out the first week of spring training has been canceled. No word on anything else yet. They will meet today. And as soon as I know anything, I'll bring it to you here for sure on Sports Grid. But let's get to our headlines here on the show in case you missed it. All-Star Weekend was kind of a dud until that game last night, which was really compelling, especially at the end. Steph Curry just goes bananas, 50 points for him as Team LeBron. And LeBron, by the way, with a last-second shot, ends up beating Team Durant. Chris Paul, unfortunately for him, he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks for the Phoenix Suns, so they're hopeful he'll be back in time for the playoffs. I think probably the story that got the most attention yesterday was Juwan Howard with a sort of slap of the Wisconsin coach at the end of that game there. And congratulations to Joaquin Neiman, who wins at the Genesis Open Golf, heating up too. We got the Masters coming up pretty soon here on the way, no doubt. But yeah, I mean, the two things I think from the weekend, the takeaway is one fantasy-wise, and I suppose for the NBA, it was really fun to see that ending. And I think that maybe for us, that's a big story. But I got to tell you, like, this Juwan Howard story, Davis, is just not something you see very often. It's not necessarily a fantasy story, but I suppose ramifications for the NCAA tournament and the Final Four are to come with his strange behavior yesterday.
Yeah, it was very odd. And, you know, I'm not a big college basketball guy. So I think I kind of loosely knew, you know, that Juwan Howard was a coach, but I certainly was reminded of it yesterday. That does seem to be the story that's mostly dominating my timeline on Twitter. You know, what's the funny thing about the All-Star Weekend is I think they do it in the wrong order. I think that the game should be on Saturday night. And the you know, Rising Stars Skill Challenge Dunk Contest 3-point should be on Sunday, because the best event All-Star Weekend every year, without, it's always the 3-point contest. The dunk contest, people have these expectations of, you know, Vince Carter, you know, Aaron Gordon, right? Remember the Aaron Gordon dunk contest? He was unbelievable. But the dunk contest, people end up criticizing it. But the 3-point contest is always fun. Like, it's just always a good time. And so I do wonder if playing the game on Saturday and then doing the contest on Sunday would make it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, no, I think that that is a fair point. They're always trying to tinker with the weekend for sure. And look, let's just call it what it is. I mean, the dunk contest was panned pretty much by every single fan of sports in general, saying that they need to be tinkered with it as well. Look, in the end, I think, Davis, it's just really hard to get the world's greatest athletes to participate in a fun competition. As we welcome in our radio audience here to Sports Grid, sportsgrid.com. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. We're talking about NBA All-Star Weekend. And I think that, you know, everyone, what they're saying today, Davis, is that back in my day, right? Like, and that's me too, because like I'm one of those people. I went to the NBA Slam Dunk Contest. I saw Dominique Wilkins. I saw Michael Jordan in the three-point contest. And it wouldn't even be a matter, Davis, of the dunks. I personally don't think it's the dunks. I think it's the people. I think it's the players that are in this thing. As long as you put LaMelo Ball, and I don't know if he can dunk or not, if you put LaMelo Ball in the dunk contest, it would have a completely different feel. I think that's what's missing from this.
I mean, why not? Why has LeBron never done this? Why has Kevin Durant not ever done this? Russell Westbrook, you want to talk about a guy who could change his Q score around right now? Everyone's killing Russell Westbrook, right? Oh, he's ruining the Lakers season. He can't do anything. He can't dribble. He can't shoot. Russell Westbrook putting down even one, like, amazing, even a B-plus dunk. Honestly, Russell Westbrook putting down one B-plus dunk and offering some star power to that contest would do, I mean, more people would watch it. It would get people talking about Westbrook in a positive way. But you are right, though. You know, the fact that Cole Anthony and Juan Toscano-Anderson are the guys doing these dunks, like all due respect, no one cares, right? No one cares. We want to see LaMelo Ball. We want to see LeBron. We want to see Giannis. We want to see Joel Embiid, right? We want to see the stars participate in this event. So you're right. And the problem is just a problem of incentives. The NBA would have to put up cash, right? To be like, right, $1 million for first place. And Joel Embiid is like, all right, man, I'll go dunk.
Yeah, look, finding a way to just get the top rookies in there, I think, would solve the problem. I mean, look back in the past, Davis.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
There's a reason that Blake Griffin became so popular for dunking over a car. He was in the slam dunk contest in his first year or his second year, whatever that was. Like, I mean, that's part of the equation. That's a little bit lost, but no doubt also a wonderful scene honoring the top 75 players in NBA history yesterday. I thought that was really cool as well from Cleveland. So plenty of NBA to talk about here on the show. Also, we're going to take a look at the NFBC average draft position for fantasy baseball. We're going to go high-low on the show today. Players being drafted too high or too low. Davis and I will answer those questions as well. We're off and running here on this Monday. Great to be with you on this President's Day. We'll be right back on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, betting on the overs in these exhibitions is continuing to be the gift that gives on giving, no question. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. I mean, we're going to get to 400 points at some point in this NBA All-Star game. I know we're going to get there, but let's go through our fantasy standouts from the game yesterday. as the NBA season is now off for a few days. Giannis yesterday, we'll start with him, 30 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, and 1 block. Steph Curry, 16 three-pointers, 50 points. He was the MVP, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Joel Embiid had 36 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. LeBron James, who we'll hear from in a minute, he had 24 points and the game winner, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, and 1 block. And then Devin Booker had 20 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 4 steals. And Davis, the MVP of the game, of course, was Steph Curry. He had 16 three-pointers in this game, maybe a little bit overshadowed by that final shot by LeBron James, but Curry after the game said that it was basically a storybook ending to the win.
Yeah, I told him on the court after the game, it was kind of a perfect ending. I was chasing that extra 2 or 3 points. And I think DeMar hit a big shot, and then he came out, hit the game winner, and it was kind of a perfect ending. Obviously, I got the MVP. I played well the whole night. He hit the game winner. Like I said, all the history of our series and the Akron ties and all that kind of going into how the night went. So it was pretty. Can't really draw it up any other way. It's pretty right on the nose on how it should go.
Steph alluded to after the game really wanting one more three to break the record for an all-star game. And look, he'll probably have his chance, honestly, Davis, next year. No big deal. I mean, these games are just, there's no defense being played whatsoever. In general, I still think the baseball all-star game is the best, in my opinion. And then NBA is a close second. I'm not a huge hockey guy, but I'm told hockey is third. And then, of course, our Pro Bowl is just, I don't think there should be a Pro Bowl anymore.
No.
But look, I thought that from a compelling point of view, to have the game come down to the last shot, to have the kind of numbers that you saw from everyone, must have made your DFS day fun, whether or not you made money.
Absolutely. So there, I think there actually is like a little bit of edge in some of these contests if you historically pay attention to who tends to do well in all-star games and who tends to kind of just take it easy. One of the things that you will see historically is that it's not really a game for big men. Now, Embiid did his best to eschew that narrative. He took 20 shots in 30 minutes yesterday, scored 36 points. I believe that, yeah, he was the second highest scorer of the game other than Curry. But usually the narrative is pretty simple, which is that Curry, you know, Kobe used to do this, Jordan used to do this, right. LeBron still does this, right? It's the guards, they get their shots up. Also, there's a little bit of knowing which guys want to take it easy, like which guys don't care. Go back and look at all of Jimmy Butler's All-Star game appearances. It's not for Jimmy Butler, right? Jimmy Butler, competitive guy, wants to go after you. Like, the All-Star game is just not the game for him. He really doesn't play all that often. He got 9 minutes yesterday. And then Curry alluded to it, there was like a big narrative there, right? Curry and LeBron and Akron, you know, how many times they played in that building, and, you know, Cleveland kind of has a special place for Curry because of winning the championships there and all that stuff. So I thought all of that was pretty interesting. And of course, when it gets down to the Elam ending, LeBron, I mean, there's just no question LeBron's going hard. Like LeBron, like he just, yeah. the guy can't help himself, you know?
Yeah, and he couldn't help himself taking the final shot, a step back long jumper, by the way, to win it. And LeBron says, no doubt, one of the highlights of his career last night.
I couldn't have dreamt it. I could not have dreamed of that moment any better than the actuality that just happened. For me to be back here, you know, like I keep staying 35 minutes south of where I grew up here in Akron, Ohio. To hit the game winner in an all-star game where me and my guys back in the back, we, you know, used to watch the all-star game. And, you know, I remember 25 years ago, we was 12, 11, wishing that we had the opportunity or the means to come up to Cleveland and see some of the greatest basketball players of all time because they inspired us so much. And for me to be here today, for my best friends, to be here for my wife and my kids and my family, my mom, and so many people that seen me grow from a really a young toddler to who I am today. I couldn't picture that moment any better.
You know, it's interesting that that may be, Davis, the highlight of LeBron James's season. At least it seems to be trending that way. You know, we get all these narratives and stories during All-Star Weekend. We're going to touch on some a little bit later in the show, too. But a pretty strong narrative, basically, that the Lakers, dare I say, Davis, I don't know, are done and are just kind of admitting, hey, this is not the team that we have built for the playoffs. Whether or not LeBron is upset, look, who really knows? But in the end, we may look back at the 2021-22 NBA season and say that was LeBron James's moment at the All-Star game. And who would have thought that at the beginning of the season?
No, I mean, really the only way that we will remember this season in a different way is if the Lakers make the play-in, win their play-in games, both of them, right? And then go on a run as, you know, ostensibly the 8 seed. Because as of right now, the Lakers have a losing record. They're 27-31. They are behind the Grizzlies, Mavericks, Suns, Warriors, Clippers, Jazz, Nuggets, and Timberwolves. Now, if they go on, you know, one good run for them, right? 2 weeks where they win six games in a row, assuming that some of those games are coming against the Timberwolves, you know, some of these lower end teams, they could get to the 7 seed, maybe. I don't see any path to them making the regular playoffs. Like, I think they are too far behind at this point, especially because it's kind of hard to see them ripping off 6 games in a row at this point, right? Like, we're just looking at the product that they're putting on the court, and, you know, Lakers fans are like, oh, we're going to get Kendrick Nunn back. Like, Kendrick Nunn is the guy who's going to change their season. All that's going to – Kendrick Nunn's going to come back, and he's going to be playing your turn, my turn with Russell Westbrook. Anthony Davis is going to be out for at least 3 weeks now with this mid-ankle sprain. So, I mean, it's a bummer. You know, LeBron here at you know, 36 years old. I mean, and it's not as if any person who is being, like, intellectually honest about the situation can look at it and be like, this is LeBron James' fault because he's playing as good as ever. I mean, you know, he's 27-7-7 every single night, pretty much no matter what. I guess if you did want to blame LeBron, you could say, look, man, there is no way the Lakers brought in Russell Westbrook without you signing off on it. There's no way that they didn't consult you first. So clearly, in some way, this roster being this old and having this many ball handlers, it's kind of on you. And we've seen this happen, right? Happen in Miami, happen in Cleveland. LeBron makes GM decisions, and they go south, and then he's out. He leaves when the roster gets bad.
Well, can't leave yet. I know he has another year left on his contract with the Lakers. And yeah, I mean, he mentioned Carmelo Anthony post-game a few times, too. I think this is probably the end of the line for Carmelo, unfortunately, for him this year as well. What did you think of seeing all the Michael Jordan and all these, you know, great players being lined up for the NBA at 75?
This is like what is great about the NBA, right? Is that it's kind of like you really don't. I mean, I guess you do kind of see this with baseball, but it does seem much more of like a brotherhood in basketball, right? You know, we have all the stories of, you know, Kobe and Michael Jordan were friends, and you know, all these guys who played for teams before, you know, fill advisorship roles in the front office, and they talk to the young players. Like, that is something that seems very cool about the NBA, that the former players continue to, like, you know, love and mentor the athletes in their sport. So I think it was really
cool. And let's be honest, larger than life stars in both sports that we get to see more often than we do in football. And they exist in football too, but I would probably say not on the same level. Like, when you see Jordan, Bird, Magic Johnson, those guys, it's just incredible. All right, we'll take a quick time out here on the show. The NFBC currently running their contest for the upcoming fantasy baseball season. We have some data in, not as much as we had last year. We do have some data, though, as far as how the drafts are going thus far. We're going to take a look at the average draft position, and we will play a little game of too high or too low. Up next, stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com. Break.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock on the show, as we got you until 1 o'clock Eastern, our new schedule, of course, today. And Davis, we are creeping closer to the beginning of fantasy baseball season. Normally on February 21st, we have pitchers and catchers. They've already reported the full squad would be on the field tomorrow. We'd be doing fantasy baseball drafts in the month of March, but we're on hold for a little bit longer. Hopefully we'll get some good news at the end of this week.
Well, I certainly hope that we get some good news. I would love to be dipping into those NFBC streets. I'm hoping that our friends over at Underdog Fantasy also launch a Major League Baseball best ball tournament. I drafted a bunch of those last year, would like to hop back in some this year. And it's a pretty good time to start getting acquainted with some of the more controversial selections, because we're about to start having to make decisions, at least hopefully, right? At least hopefully we are going to have these decisions will need to be made.
Yeah, our buddy Gray Albright from Raz Balls got his Raz Slam getting ready to start this weekend. We'll bring Gray in later this week to get a preview of that. One of the few fantasy baseball drafts that I'm committed to in 2022. I don't think I'm committed to any others right now, which is scary, but can't do it until they're back on the field, in my opinion. But, okay, so we have some data based on some NFBC champions drafts. Now, clearly, the data on this February 21st, Davis, is a lot different than last February 21st, but we still have enough, I believe, to take at least a look at where the experts feel, and by experts, the people who are spending money, in my opinion, on these things feel about players. So let's get started. And for today's show, we'll go inside the top 50 in the NFBC, and then tomorrow we'll do 51 through 100. Wednesday we'll do 100 through 150, so on. And we'll go through the whole week with that, see if we can find some sleepers for us. So the way that I did this, Davis and Brett and I did this, we found some players that could go higher, I think, or could go lower based on opinion. So I'll certainly have mine, but I want yours. Let's start with Luis Robert of the Chicago White Sox. His ADP right now is early second round, 17.55. Of course, he missed a lot of time with injury last season. But in case you missed his season where he did play, the numbers were really good, like what everyone expected they would be. 378 OBP, 13 home runs, 43 runs driven in, and with steals being so far down, he gave you 6 stolen bases last season. So naturally, Davis, it's funny that Luis Robert is like so post-hype right now, because it's like everybody loved him a couple of years ago and he's going to be this great player. And he did turn out to be this great player, but yet still not a first round pick in fantasy. So injuries, what are you factoring in here? Is Robert going too high or too low for you in the early draft season?
So my guess is that a lot of the guys who draft really strictly off of projections, who tend to play a little bit more conservatively, who are big math advocates, you know, they take starting pitchers early. My guess is those guys are going to be pretty out on Luis Robert. So for his career, he has a 6.5 walk rate. That is very low for a guy going in the top 25 picks. You know, a lot of the guys who are going that high are going to be guys with a 10% walk rate or higher, because that's just kind of the nature of the business. If you don't walk very much, you're going to be much more suspect to the luck of batting average and balls in play. Luis Robert in 2021 had a BABIP of 394. Now, again, he is very fast, so you would expect his batting average on balls in play to be high. Probably not quite that high. And also, 296 plate appearances. He did steal 6, but it does seem that projection systems that have him up at like 21, 22, 23 type steals, I don't quite know if he is going to get there. Now, the fact that the White Sox have a kind of old school manager, that might just give him the green light, right? Because one thing we know is that kind of these newer analytically inclined managers don't love steals. That's partly why steals are down all across baseball. So the fact that their manager is like 87 years old, maybe Luis Robert can just steal, you know, as much as he wants. Did hit the 13 home runs. I mean, he has a career 218 isolated slugging. All of this is a long way to say, I know that the math people are probably not going to like him very much, but I will really like Luis Robert there. I mean, because if you look at guys who can go 30 home runs, 20 steals, 300 batting average, he's like one of 10 guys maybe who has that season in his range probably of outcomes.
Yeah. And look, injuries have now cost him a little time over 2 years. That's definitely something you have to think about. You just don't know if he can play 162 games in the season, or by the way, if he plays 150, then his ADP would be fine as well. Now, let's go to our next player. This is a player that, Davis, if he puts up the same exact numbers that he put up in 2021, then this is a top 5 player in fantasy baseball. This is true. Cedric Mullins, his ADP is nowhere near the top 5. It is 31 Why? Because nobody believes Davis that he's going to do what he did last year, which is a 360 OBP, 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases, and he leads off, so he's not going to drive it a lot. So he drove in 59 runs. But this is just a matter of if you think he was a one-hit wonder or not. And by the way, Davis, if he hits 25 homers, steals 26 bases, still a first-round pick in fantasy baseball. So this sort of tells you the groupthink right now says don't believe what you saw last year.
And honestly, I look at his batted ball profile, and I look at what he did, and I'm like, I don't know. He actually looks a little bit less risky than Louis Robert does. So he walked almost 9% of the time, struck out only 18% of the time. All of the projection system zips, the bat, they basically believe that. They have him at an 8% walk rate, 18% K rate. Now, all the projection systems, the big difference between his results last season and what the projections expect for him to do this upcoming season is they are very much not buying the power. Every projection system available has him for under 200 isolated slugging. No one has him higher than 24 home runs. Now, there are a couple things going in his favor. The first being that he plays in the American League East. So every stadium there other than the Rays stadium, very friendly for hitting. That's huge, right? You know, if he was playing in the NL West, I think we could afford to be far less bullish on him. In general, though, guys like this are probably going to be guys that I miss on. You know, a 13th round draft pick. He was basically barely a minor leaguer for the three seasons before this. And maybe that's actually a point in his favor. Maybe the fact that he coming into last season, he didn't even have 400 plate appearances as a professional. Maybe that's actually a point in his favor. But baseball is sort of one of those weird sports where very rarely do you see these guys with no pedigree turn into superstars, right? Now he did do it over a big sample, but I feel that this is a little rich right now. 31 feels very rich for Cedric Mullins.
Yeah, I remember they're moving the fences in too, and I think that's a factor as well. You know, remember, look at Jonathan Villar's year with Baltimore a couple of years ago. They have had players in that park that have had one and dones. I don't know if Mullins is the guy, but I'm in agreement with you. I'm a little and by the way, I didn't go into last season with anyone telling me, Davis, hey, get this guy Cedric Mullins. Right. And I'm coming from a place of experience with people too. You know, I'd never heard that once. All right, I figured let's go to your guy here, Salvador Perez of the Kansas City Royals. He's being drafted as the number one catcher in fantasy baseball. And of course, if you didn't pay attention to the end of last season, look at these numbers. I mean, 48 home runs, 121 RBIs. No one knows where this came from. Remember, he missed an entire season. OBP is about where he is for Sal Perez. He's 316. He's not going to steal bases. We know that. But first catcher Davis off the board this year. And there's going to be regression. I think we probably both would agree with that. But does he regress from 48 home runs to 40? Or does he go from 48 to 20? Because that's where the ADP is going to make a big difference here.
I think he probably goes from 48 to 35. That would be right around where I would peg him. And, you know, I think the most interesting thing about his results last season were that he didn't do anything different in terms of walk rate or strikeout rate. All of that stuff was the same. And his isolated slugging was higher than it had been in years past. But every year for the last 4 years, he's been above 225. So it's not like it came out of nowhere. Basically, you could just see his approach at the plate went from, I'm going to make contact some of the time, to every time I go to the plate, my launch angle is straight up. I don't care about doing anything else. He hit below his career batting average, 273, and his career batting average is 275 with all of those home runs, because very clearly he made a change at the plate saying, you know, I'm 31 years old. I'm going to be DHing sometimes too, right? Not just catching. So I'm just going to try and hit dingers. And that's what he did.
Yeah, you know, for me, I'm still Real Muto. I mean, I'm biased, of course, with JT, but I'm still a Real Muto guy over Sal Perez. And I think that what's not being adjusted, unfortunately, another big part of these NFBC drafts, which is why I won't do one right now, is that, Davis, every catcher that has, a cent of value in the NL, use JT, use Will Smith as an example on LA, they're getting at least a 10-15% bump in stats this year by having the DH. Like, it's going to happen. They're going to play more. The top guys, you know what I mean? Not the bottom tier catchers in the NL, but the top four or five players are all going to see that. I'm not really seeing that in the NFBC right now. I'm not seeing that bump. Maybe that's because not all the full assumptions are being made, but you know, it's an interesting dynamic once we get the full announcement as to what will happen with there. Tomorrow on the show, we'll continue our look at NFBC ADP. We did not get to Tyler O'Neill of the St. Louis Cardinals, so we'll lead off with him tomorrow. Tyler O'Neill coming off an unbelievable season for St. Louis in a lot of different categories. But we'll take a quick break here on the show. When we come back, LeBron James talks a little bit about his legacy, and then we'll have Fantasy Reality. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Make sure you are following us along on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread, brand new programming schedule. Make sure you stay tuned. Coming up top of the hour, 1 o'clock Eastern, Kevin Walsh, Johnny Wrightside. We got Scott Farrell for an extra hour now every single day here on SportsGrid. So catch all of our shows and the things we're talking about you can find on social media at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. One quick note before we go over to some fantasy reality, Goran Dragic is signing with the Brooklyn Nets, so they sort of fortify their backcourt as they move forward, hopefully for a long playoff run. One thing that happened yesterday, of course, was the NBA All-Star Game. The top 75 players in the history of the NBA were awarded yesterday and shown in Cleveland. It was a pretty nice scene, and LeBron James, who of course was on that list, was asked what it feels like to be among the game's greatest.
It would be like going to your favorite musician's concert in the greatest stadium, and you're literally on stage with them while they're performing. And the sense of like, I can't believe that I'm here. That's the best way I could put it. Like, I can't believe that I'm sitting next to Bruce Springsteen while he's playing in a stadium in London with 160,000 people, or I'm in the Garden with Jay-Z or whoever that person is. You know, I'm sitting here with Whitney Houston on stage and she's, you know, in a Coliseum with 90,000 people and you're on stage. That's what it kind of felt like for me. I couldn't believe it. Every time they would announce another name, I didn't even get an opportunity to like rejoice in the player that they had named. It was like Gary Payton. I was like, wow. And then Jay Kidd showed up. And then AI showed up. And then it was D-Wade, CP, and Steph. I was tripped out.
Great moment yesterday in the NBA, seeing all of those legends in the same place in Cleveland. But a bigger story surfaced yesterday, and one that on this show I predicted several years ago, by the way, and that will lead us off with today's fantasy or reality. All right, so the story that came out, of course, in one of the narratives over the weekend is that LeBron James is still waiting to play with his son. Now, Davis, even well before that you were a host here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid, called it right here, said this guy is 100% never retiring until he gets a chance to play with his son, Bronny James. And to me, Davis, this would be maybe the biggest sports story of all time. I mean, we have just never seen this before in the NBA, a father and son on the court. I mean, it is just incredible to me and what this would mean for the world to have this happen. So I'm not going to downplay it at all, but let's start with the question today, Davis. Fantasy or reality, knowing what you know now, Bronny James will be a first-round pick in the NBA. If it stood right now, apparently, Davis, ranking-wise, he would not be. a first round pick. So I will ask you, fantasy reality, Bronny James will be a first round pick in the NBA draft.
So I think it's pretty interesting because there's a little bit of game theory that goes into this, which is basically at the point in which Bronny James is eligible for the draft, which is either going to be in 3 years if the rules are the same as they are now, or in 2 years if the NBA does away with the one and done rule, which has been discussed for a long time, and kind of every offseason I think we get a little bit closer to that. Will LeBron James still be good enough that spending a first round pick on a player who basically is going to go, not going to play, right? Who's basically going to be your 15th guy on the bench. Will he be so good that it is worth spending, basically wasting a first round pick on Bronny James? And you know what? I think the answer is yes. I think that I don't see any slowness to LeBron James's games. Now, is he missing more time with injury than he did when he was 29? Yeah. Maybe he's going to need 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off here and there. Maybe he can't play 38 minutes a night and he needs to play 30 minutes a night. But the other wrinkle to this, and I've not heard anyone say this yet, is what if LeBron, because what LeBron said in this article is the last year of my career, I'm playing with my kid, right? Last year of my career, I'm playing with my kid. But what if the last year of LeBron James's career is 6 years from now? What if you spend that first round pick on Bronny James? He sits on your roster. He doesn't play. He's not good enough. He's basically, what's the third ball brother's name? LiAngelo. So LiAngelo is the one who's not any good. And teams have tried to sign him. So it's just very interesting. But I'm going to say the game theory here of having Bronny on your roster just brings you so close to getting LeBron on your roster and all that comes with it. I'm saying reality, even if he's not any good.
Yeah, I got a reality too. It's not the same situation. Let's not confuse it. But I was around Davis when, to me, the last most popular player switched teams. To me, now look, LeBron may feel LeBron was ahead of Shaq. I don't know, Davis. When Shaq went to the Miami Heat, it changed the franchise. Like for what you see now is based not on LeBron James. It's based and the big three. It was based on Shaquille O'Neal being traded to the Heat. And what would that do, Davis, for Sacramento? What would that do for Minnesota?
Yeah,
what would that do for Portland? Like they'd have a parade outside, even if it's just the skeleton of LeBron James. So this is a reality. This is a reality. Yeah. Late first round, probably. I don't know what LeBron's going to look like in 3 years from now. You mentioned the injuries. I think they are catching up a little bit, but It's basically a franchise alterer, selling tickets. It's important. Maybe a team on the verge of potential playoffs to reality for Bronny James for sure for me. Okay, let's go to the other big story that was happening in sports this weekend. In case you missed it, you're not a sports fan. At the end of the Wisconsin-Michigan game, as they lined up to shake hands, the head coach of the University of Michigan, Juwan Howard, reached out and looked like he was trying to hit, but sort of face slapped the head coach of Wisconsin. And as of right now, 12:47 Eastern on a Monday, we don't know what the ramifications for this are going to be. Is Juwan Howard going to be suspended? Is he going to be fired? Is everything just going to be gone and be okay? But Michigan is a bubble team for sure, and a crucial loss yesterday, no doubt. Davis, if Michigan does not make the NCAA tournament, it is Juwan Howard's fault. Is this fantasy or reality?
So I think that, it's kind of tough to know what is Juwan Howard's responsibility in terms of, calling plays and things like that. Because what you see a lot of the times with really good former athletes who become coaches is that they have really good assistants. So if Juwan Howard has to miss 4 games, or if they just say, you just slapped another coach for the rest of the face, you're just done. You're done. You're not coaching for the rest of the year. What is their hierarchy like in terms of their assistant coaches? Now, right, I would assume Juwan Howard is very good at, motivating the guys, like the halftime team talks and all of those things. But I just don't know enough about the hierarchy of like what their assistant coaches and everything's are like. You would have to imagine it would be pretty demotivating as a college basketball player to have your head coach suspended. Like that would be a weird environment. But at the end of the day, the players, they still got to make the shots. They still have to play the game. So I'll say it won't, I'll say fantasy, it is not Juwan Howard's fault, but just a very weird situation. Do not see stuff like this in coaching very often.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if he's going to get fired or not. He'll definitely get suspended. The question is for how long? And I think maybe that will be a better way that we can answer this. Is it 2 games? Is it 5 games? Is it the rest of the season? No one really knows for sure. And look, there is some serious precedent with this. There have been former coaches in college, Bobby Knight, who was very physical with his players. We just didn't have Twitter. We didn't have phones that took cameras at the time. Bobby Knight's in the Hall of Fame. So I'm going to say reality, it will be his fault because there is just literally no reason for this to happen. And if, for example, he is suspended for the rest of the season, it can be galvanizing. It can get all the players together and play for their coach. But what are they really playing for? Your coach who like smacked the other guy? I don't know.
Right.
I'm out. I'm going to say reality. It is Juwan Howard's fault if they don't make the NCAA tournament, because certainly with him there, you would expect they'd be right on the bubble with a chance to make it. All right, finally, let's go to our last question here today on fantasy or reality. The Denver Broncos right now are up for sale. It looks like it's going to be $4 billion, and cryptocurrency is a possibility as far as purchasing this thing. Several players and pro athletes are trying to rally together and get this crypto together, $4 billion in crypto to buy the Denver Broncos. It would be different. It would be unconventional. But we also know, Davis, eventually this is going to happen. So, fantasy or reality, I will ask you. A professional sports team, we've seen stadiums, but a professional sports team will be purchased with cryptocurrency, and here's the barometer, in the next 2 years. Is this fantasy or reality? If I said 5, it would be too easy. I'm going to say 2.
So I'm going to tell you why this is a fantasy. There might be a group that gets together with enough Ethereum, with enough Bitcoin to purchase a team, right? You know, whether it be done via a DAO, a digital autonomous organization, or you know, just a group of people. A couple soccer teams over in England have been purchased this way. So that's happened. But the reason why it's a fantasy is that the person who is selling, the person who, you know, owns the team and is going to be going the other direction, they're not going to take it in crypto. They're going to immediately cash it out for cash, right? So I get four, you know, whatever $1 billion of Bitcoin, I sell it immediately and I take it in cash. So I think for the heart of this question to be true, the person selling it has to take it not in cash, but actually right. Go through with the purchase holding the currency. So I'm going to say fantasy for that reason.
Right. But the Bolin family, you nailed it with that. They're not going to be interested in taking this in crypto. But if I said 5 years, would you have said reality? If I said 5 or still
maybe, maybe like an MLS team, a second tier English soccer team, but NBA, NFL, NBA, MLB, no way. We're still not quite there where people want to hold 4 billion in Bitcoin.
Yeah, no, I definitely would have said fantasy as well with that. But we'll be interesting to see who buys the Denver Broncos. A lot of changes, you know, potentially coming for them as well. And no doubt that the landscape with crypto is certainly so interesting to think that this is a possibility. Even 2 years ago, I could have said 20 years, you would have said fantasy.
No.
Now, 2 years later, 5 years is maybe a reality. That's how fast the world is working, no doubt. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to hit on the Sports Grid 60 seconds of commentary for myself and Davis. For those of you who are just joining us, our show here on Fantasy Sports Today is now 1 hour. We got Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. They are standing by coming up at 1 o'clock Eastern. They have you till 3 o'clock Eastern. And then Scott Farrell's show is strictly on TV these days, also on radio during that time. But Scotty moving away after, I think I saw on Twitter, close to 40 years in radio. He is going to be hosting our TV show, Coast to Coast, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. today. So our show, 1 hour here. We got some other things in store here for you on Sports Grid coming soon, too, no doubt, with baseball season coming and NCAA Final Four. But since football is over, our fantasy show down to 1 hour, sadly. But we'll be right back to wrap it all up here for you on this Monday, on this President's Day holiday. So stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, David and I'll be right back here on the show tomorrow. More look at the NFBC ADP in fantasy baseball. But before we leave you today on this Monday President's Day holiday, let's turn it over to Davis. He's got the Sports Grid 60.
So, of course, you know, the big thing that everyone's talking about on Twitter this morning is how disappointing the dunk contest was. We always think it's going to be good. It's never really that good. You know, there are some select moments we have that Utah Jazz center who dunked over the painting he had made of him dunking the Aaron Gordon dunk contest. Of course, Vince Carter hanging by his arm. But I think there is a very simple solution to making the dunk contest better, and that is the NBA ponying up some money, ponying up some cash. I guarantee you, if they had a wheelbarrow full of 20s, $1 million, you sit at courtside and you say, LeBron, Embiid, you know, Donovan Mitchell, whoever, come and do your best dunk, you win the money. I think that would solve the problems that we've been having with it.
Yeah, $1 million goes to the winner of the home run derby. So maybe that will solve the problem for the NBA as well. Naturally, of course, with such a great day yesterday for the NBA, everyone seems to be, because, you know, we live in a place that's negative. All the players that were not at the ceremony yesterday, where was Scottie Pippen and where was, Tim Duncan? They had some video where they were waving to the crowd. Isaiah Thomas said that it was, very disappointing to see players not there. In the end, can we just focus on how great it was to see 65 of the greatest players all in one place in Cleveland? I thought it was a tremendous ceremony yesterday. Who cares who was there and who was not there? I know we're going to talk about it, but naturally, I'm here for the positive as we end the show today. Thanks, of course, to LTN for all their hard work on the show, Danny and Ryan on the graphics, and producer Brett Levy, as always. For my co-host, Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish, reminding you, we are right back here tomorrow at noon Eastern for our one-hour edition of Fantasy Sports Today. Have a great day, everybody. See ya. Break.